Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. All right, let's pray for an end to COVID. Let's pray for an end to this great scourge on our country and the world. And let's pray for wisdom and discernment. I mean, so many of us have got to discern, right? What do you do? You heard Dr. Aaron Cariotti. There's mandates that are coming. He's fighting against those. There are people who have natural immunity. There are people who have been vaxxed. There are people who have not been vaxxed. Let's pray for a spirit of truth to permeate. And look, if you have been vaccinated or if you have comorbidities or if you're in danger of getting this, let's pray for protection. I mean, I believe God grants health. I do. We see it in scriptures, right? He restores health. I'm going to put myself in his merciful hands and ask him to bring health and protection. And that is for sure. Hey, it's good to be with you. I want to thank you for praying with me. I was away for a couple days, and I was praying for you every day. In fact, the people that I were with, I went to the beautiful state of Maine. Oh, my gosh. So beautiful. I used to vacation there when I lived on the East Coast, and every year now I've gone back with a friend of mine and a couple of people. We get together, and we spend a couple of days there, and we'd rented a boat. This guy's a sailor, and we just, man, we enjoyed the air, and there were seals, and there were, you know, just salt air. It was incredible. But as we were going through the coast of Maine, and the coast of Maine, I shared this in the very beginning of the show today, a little tidbit that I learned. You know, I think of California as being the longest state in the union that has more water, right? You would think. It doesn't. The state of Maine has more waterfront. And look at it on a map. It looks small than any other state in the union. You pull that out, there's all these coves and rugged terrains and riverways. It's just absolutely spectacular. Every afternoon at this time, we would stop wherever we were, surrounded by God's majesty and beauty. And you can't help but rejoice. You can't help but feel the presence of God. And we'd pray the chaplet, and you were remembered in those intentions with me. Every day you were. I had also the opportunity to stop by a bookstore. And I want to send a shout out to the Abbey Bookstore. It is the only remaining Catholic bookstore in the entire state of Maine. That's it. One Catholic bookstore in the entire state of Maine. And I said to the women there, I met two beautiful daughters and the owner. I want to say, send out a shout out to, of course, Yvonne Johnson and Alexandra and Samantha as well. Thank you for your hospitality. I went there, and in my studio right now, I'll be praying with Beth Groshek. She's in studio with me there. You see that image there, Beth? That is an image of St. Faustina. So if you ever come by the Relevant Radio Studios, I have hanging in the studio here an image of the Divine Mercy that Faustina had painted, wanted painted, so an image of that. And then right below her, they gave me an image of St. Faustina herself. And so they hang in the studios with you. And I want to thank them for their generosity and all the gifts that they've given us and the blueberry muffins, et cetera. Maine has these really cool little tiny, tiny blueberries. Such a beautiful state. But I want to thank you for your hospitality. I also want to thank Vicky, who I met. She wants me to do something on the Holy Face devotion. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a powerful one. And it's known for a lot of healing. So I think I will share that with you maybe later in the week or next week. But we'll pray together right now, all right? We'll pray for our country. I want to pray for those who are trying to keep the Catholic message alive, right? Doing it through different ministries, whether it's radio like Relevant or whether it's bookstore owners like the Abbey. If you're in Maine, go and see them, okay? Help support them. My phone screener today is Patrick Alog, and he has an intention to start off with. Patrick, what's going on?
Yes, it's for a special intention, but it's in regards to an intention that you pray for the intercession of St. Joseph. And no, it's not looking for a new job. But
it's for you?
Yes.
I know what it is.
It's not looking for a new job, but it is through the intercession of St. Joseph in terms of my future.
All right.
So,
Good intention, Patrick. Yeah. I'll be glad to join you in that. And Beth, thanks for being here. Anything you want to pray for before we start?
Just a special intention I have on my heart. So
everybody's got special intentions. Beth tried golf for the first time. She went out and played. It was an ordeal. I'd love to have seen that, Beth.
I'm sure you would.
That was great. Hey, I do want to pray for this one intention. It came across, and there's several of these. I don't have time to share them all, but listen to this one. And please pray for this woman. This woman wrote to me. I'll keep her name anonymous. She says, Drew, could you please pray for my marriage? My husband has been very distant, and he is verbally abusive. Everything I do makes him mad. I try my best not to make him mad. I do my very best. I try not to say anything. I try to keep quiet. But sometimes I do say things. I do. And I say comments that make him mad, and I don't know what to do. Maybe it's my fault. I don't know. I just pray every day for our marriage and for God's will to be done. I just want to stop at this point. First of all, it's not your fault. In a relationship, you shouldn't be worried about what you say and the fact that your husband's going to be angry with you or verbally abuse you. If you are in a verbally abusive relationship, if you are especially in a physically abusive relationship, you need to get some counseling. You need to get some help. If you're physically abused, you need to get out of that relationship. You need distance, separation from that person. But you really need to express to your husband what's going on here. I want to give you this number if you are listening, okay? And for any woman right now or any man who is being abused, and men get abused too, believe it or not. Here's a phone number for you. Jot this down. And maybe it's providential you're hearing my voice today. Maybe you're driving in a car and you don't know what to do. Maybe today the Lord's speaking to you. The phone number is 800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. And if you don't have it, you can call my number here in the studio, 888-914-9149, and we'll give that to you. Okay, that's the National Domestic Abuse Hotline. Let's pray for this woman. Let's pray for everyone in these relationships where there is abuse. And we'll begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And I want to pray for Dolly and Craig Foster. I want to thank them for their hospitality and for all their intentions. I've been praying for your family, Dolly, and know that you and Craig are going to continue to be prayed for. Joanne in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
My prayer request is for my brother Jeff in Montana, who is very ill with COVID. He was taken to the ICU yesterday, put on a ventilator, and also suffered a cardiac arrest last night at 6 p.m. I'm asking for a miracle.
No, let's pray for it right now. All right, we'll do that. Joanne, thank you. I'm glad you got through. I pray for you, of course, but Lord, I do pray for her brother battling COVID and cardiac problems. I want to pray for all those in the ICU. I want to pray for all those souls right now, wherever they are, who are battling for their life and are battling for better health. And you are the divine physician. You are the great healer. We see it so many times throughout the scriptures. I ask for your divine touch on these souls who now turn to you with trust. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Next up is Anita. She's listening to us in Madison, Minnesota. Madison, Minnesota. Interesting. Hi, Anita. Good afternoon. I think of Wisconsin when I hear the word Madison, the capital.
Right. There's one in South Dakota, too.
That's awesome. Good to have you. How can we pray for you?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for this time, for taking all our prayer requests and encouraging us with Jesus' messages to Sister Faustina.
Amen.
Very helpful. But what I need to ask for my daughter and for all involved in the same situation is that her request to claim a religious exemption to the COVID vaccine will be honored, and also that others, we can respect each other as we address these issues, and that everyone will be open to the information available for both sides of the issue. And also that it will not divide families, communities, our church, and the world.
Amen.
Also, that the medications that help at the very beginning of symptoms would be available to all. So I thank you for this. Thank you for taking my request.
You got it, Anita. Let's pray right now. What a beautiful prayer. I want to pray in particular for your daughter and for all the intentions you voiced and that are in your heart. And Lord, I take Anita's intentions here, along with all you now united to me. And with that trust she speaks of, we turn to you, accepting your will. As we pray, eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Maria, listening in Whittier, California. Hi, Maria. Thanks for praying with us.
Hi, thank you so much, Drew, for taking my call. You have an urgent request. My nephew, Andrew Lascano, has been fighting in ICU for his life, and his organs are shutting down.
No.
So we ask for a miracle, if it be God's will. And if it's not, then please just to welcome him into his loving arms and have mercy on him.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Maria. Thank you for calling, though. And it's the perfect day to get through. Your nephew is going to be covered by the prayer of every soul now united to me around the country and around the world. And I stand on the gospel of Matthew, Matthew 9:23, where the Lord says, anything is possible for those who believe. Lord, we love you and we trust you. We love you and we trust you. St. Alphonse Liguori, he once said, he who trusts himself is lost, but he who trusts God can do all things. Lord, I just give you this family, and I ask for an extension of life for this young man right now. I love the prayer of Maria, who is so willing to accept your will, whatever it may be. I know we are created to live forever, to be with you, and if that is your will, we submit to it. But I ask now for that healing touch by virtue of these prayers and the promises of this chaplet. For all those in critical health, all those battling COVID, and in particular for Maria's nephew, we seek your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
My heart goes out to those in these impossible situations, overwhelmed by the circumstance. I know it's so hard to pray in those situations. It's especially hard to trust. But the Lord says, most dear to me is the soul who believes in my goodness and completely trusts in me. Believe in the goodness of God. He's all good and loving. And then trust in him. He says, if you do that, I heap my confidence. Another word for confidence is mercy. I heap my mercy upon it, and I give it all that it asks. You said that to St. Faustina, and I love that. So, Lord, I just ask for miracles in this hour. I'll take another call, but before I do, let me sneak Maggie, and she's on our Twitter account as well, monitoring all the intentions that are coming in there. A lot of intentions today, Maggie. Who can we pray for?
Yeah, it looks like everybody's happy that you're back in the studio, Drew.
Praise God.
Annalisa is praying for our country and that her family and loved ones are shielded from COVID. Charles is asking for prayers for the repose of his soul, of the soul of his dad. He would be turning 84 today in heaven. Liz is asking for healing of her vertigo. Joseph is asking for prayers of protection for the Texas heartbeat legislation. He says, may our Blessed Mother Mary protect the unborn and protect this movement. Patricia's asking for the end of abortion in Mexico, in the U.S., and around the world. And Robin is asking for prayers for her late husband's friend, Josh, who passed away due to complications of COVID, and for John, who is still fighting the illness, and for anyone else who might be struggling with COVID.
Amen. Let's lift up all those intentions. Let me add Mark to this decade as well. He's praying with us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Drew.
Amen.
Yeah, my fiance, we went to marriage class, and she was very, she hates me because I'm so religious. And we had a dialogue with the priest, and she found out that I really do know my religion. But then now she's second thinking her thoughts, and I am so scared that she'll, you know, deny or not be with me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, marry me.
Yeah.
So I just hope I hope to God that she will.
And, well, I know you love her, Mark, and that's why you are. That's why you're calling today to pray. And look, just, you know, continue to get the counseling that you need. I mean, if you have to be careful about going into a marriage and entering into a sacrament with an impediment like this, you're aware of it. She doesn't. You know, you use the word she hates you because of your religion, because you're religious. Can she truly love you, knowing how much you love God? You need to work on that issue. So let's pray for your relationship right now, okay? And I'm going to just pray that God will.
And one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Is my job.
Yeah.
I can't perform at my job.
Okay.
And they're threatening to fire me because I'm so, you know, distraught about this situation.
I'm sorry. I know it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it gets into your heart, and then it gets into your head, and it can be crippling, and it can be blinding. You're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and right now in your state, in Milwaukee, that's the central time zone. It's a little bit after 3. It's 3:21 there. You know what just came to me, Mark? In the Diary of St. Faustina, it's something I don't talk about a lot, but it's another one of the great promises. We'll pray this chaplet, which the Lord has just given an abundant series of promises to. But he also told St. Faustina, he told her at this hour, at the 3 o'clock hour, that hour when his mercy, he says, he says, implore my mercy, especially for sinners in this hour, even for a brief moment. He says, immerse yourself in my passion. He says, particularly in my abandonment, in that moment of agony. He says, this is the great hour of mercy. Now, here's the key. Here's what he says about this particular hour, and the reason I'm sharing it with you. He says, in this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. You're going through your own passion right now, brother, and I want you to turn to the Lord, united to that of Christ on the cross, and remind him of that promise. Okay? You want God's will in your life, and if this woman's not for you, there'll be somebody else. And I know that seems impossible now, but let's pray for her healing. Let's pray for her conversion. Let's pray for your relationship. Lord, I pray for all broken relationships right now, all those who have broken hearts, all those who are battling infidelity, all those who have problems performing at work. Lord, I pray for those suffering and crippled by anxiety, depression, fear, those who mourn. I give you these intentions. We stand on that promise that you'll refuse nothing to a soul who makes a request of you in virtue of your passion as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Denver, Colorado's up next. Janet, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'm calling from Denver, and one of our beloved churches was vandalized last week, and they took tons of stuff, but the priest, after he found it, he realized that the tabernacle was gone with consecrated Holy Eucharist in it. And so he knelt down and began to pray for those who, the thieves who did this, and we're also praying for a miracle for that tabernacle, for Jesus to be returned home. And we're really heartbroken about that. And but we're also praying for the people who did it so they could be brought back, brought to Christ. Maybe there'll be a conversion out of this for them.
Amen to that, Janet.
That's what we want.
Well, I'm so glad you called. I'm going to address this after the chapel, because in just the past 18 months, houses of worship have been torched. They've been hit by gunfire. Statues have been smashed. The USCCB reported about 93 incidences of this type of vandalism in about 28 states just since May of 2020. So there's something going on here. I'll address it after the chapel. But let's pray for it now, okay? And this is one of those intentions. As we all come together, we're all one church, we're going to ask God to work a real miracle here. And Lord, I'm tapping into those promises you've given. I thank you for Janet. I pray for these sacrilegious, we pray an atonement for it, and we pray for the conversion of those so misguided. I unite these prayers with all who cry out to you. And in your mercy, I beg that you hear and answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I'm going to stop it right there for a second. I just got a text that I was praying. I want to pray for Juan Landa. Many people know him from modern day. I want to include him in this last decade. He's asking for prayers. He's battling COVID. He's in the ER right now. Juan, we're praying for him, all right? And we're going to pray for you right now, the whole country. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint Peter Claver,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Please, I'm here every day at this time. Bring me your intentions. Bring me those answered prayers that God has now put in motion, because there are miracles happening right now. I'm convinced of this is an extraordinarily anointed and power-filled prayer time. So please send them to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Let me know those miracles that have taken place. Also, send me those intentions. When I come back, I want to address this issue because it's one I think that is really important. There's something going on beyond a madman or just a random act. When houses of worship throughout our country, and this is happening around the world, are being destroyed. It happened in another nation before a horrible genocide took place. I've told you about that before. I almost see a demonic spirit manifesting in some respects, but I won't get into that aspect of it now. You know, and then there's a lot of occult activity, too. There's a lot of other things that could be driving this. When we come back, I'll give you a few numbers, something that you should be aware of, and I'll unpack it for you right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for being here with me. It is always good to hang out with you. Always good, especially to pray with you and really take a look at what's unfolding right now in the world and in the culture. And I'll tell you what, there's something weird that's brewing right now. And we just had a call during the Chapel of Divine Mercy. If you're just joining me, a powerful call about church vandalisms, right? Last weekend, and I'll give you the backstory on this if you missed it. It was around 1:30 on a Sunday morning, Mountain Time. Surveillance video captures images of three people. They approached a church, the St. Louis Church in Louisville, there in Colorado, and Louisville, depending how you pronounce that for them. But police suspect that, you know, those people, you know, are the ones who sprayed pro-abortion graffiti on the church. That's what they thought, including these words. They vandalized the church with the words, "My body, my choice." Right? It's your body, your choice when it comes to, of course, abortion. But isn't it funny how it's not your body, your choice, if you want to wear a mask or not? And I don't want to get on that issue. It's an interesting, you know, juxtaposition, if you will. It's good for one. You know, ideology may not be good for, you know, somebody else's worldview there. But anyway, they spray paint these words on the Catholic Church. And I, you know, why? Because the church is a defender of life. So on the front doors of this Catholic church, they spray "My body, my choice." There's also a garden stone, you know, near the church, right? The church, you know, they have this beautiful, you know, oh, it's a beautiful church. I won't go into all the details, right? They have the words "respect life" on it. So what did the vandals spray over those words? "Respect bodily autonomy." That's what they wrote. Not "respect life," but "respect bodily autonomy." The Washington Times reported that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they recorded 94, count them, 94 incidences of vandalism against Catholic churches. It's not just Colorado. It's not just, you know, one or two or three or four or five states. It's 28 states across the nation. 28 states. And this since May of last year. What's going on? Lots of theories, right? I mean, it could be random, right? It could be kids. It could be the occult, Wiccan, or Church of Satan, or it could be, you know, pro-choicers. I mean, you name it. You name it. But the, you know, I tend to think there's something else going on here that's driving this. I think there's a darker spirit beneath. It's too prolific, and it's too widespread. The USCCB says that those instances include everything from arson to statues being beheaded. I've reported on these. And this, you know, it's interesting. When you tune into my program here, this is one of the things I've been doing for the past couple years. I've been bringing you these reports every time that happened. It might only be one story. It might only be a quick hit. But I've been giving you these stories as they unfold just to show you It's not an anomaly. It's not one or two events. I've been giving these to you every week, it seems like, lately, and now they're amplifying. So the USCCB is talking about the fact that these include arson, statues being beheaded, limbs are being cut off, statues are being smashed, they're being spray-painted. Gravestones are defaced with swastikas. And then you also have anti-Catholic language. What does that speak of? American flags next to them are being burned. That is just the beginning. Let me share with you some audio. This comes from CBS on the Denver Curia Ars Catholic Church. You just heard the wonderful caller a few moments ago call in and ask for prayers. They experienced vandalism this past Monday.
And I noticed something odd was happening.
It's hard to find the words to describe what happened at Curia Ars Church in East Denver Monday night.
This is devastating.
Thieves broke in and burglarized the parish, leaving little behind.
They took the tabernacle with the 20 consecrated hosts in it. They took all the sacred vessels, chalices, ciboria, the holy water font, the sound system, the board, the computer, which used for live stream. They took out all the cameras.
Which means there's no surveillance footage. Father Joseph Cow was the one who discovered what had happened when he arrived to prepare for Tuesday morning mass. He says they didn't just stop with tech and religious items. They took all the exposed copper piping.
The basement was flooded.
Now the church is trying to recover. Their basement is drying out, but their kitchen now has mold and they no longer have AC or running water.
So we told our community that mass will still be at the regular scheduled time, but bring a fan.
They had to borrow ceremonial items from other parishes, but while they're struggling, they say that if the thief returns the irreplaceable religious items, they will be appreciative and forgiving.
Return it to the church. If the church is, the door is closed, just put outside the front door.
All right, so that's a report that comes from Colorado itself. Just to give you a little bit of perspective of what's unfolding there. Look, just to give you just a little bit more here. As I said, it's not just Denver. It's happening all over the country. It is happening all over the country. There was a guy who drove his truck into a church vestibule in Florida, right? We shared this in the past. They threw gas on this church. They set it on fire. There were also people who were shot. This is how dark it has gotten. They were shot at a Benedictine nuns convent in rural Missouri in the middle of the night. And again, we go back to the night. They like to crawl around at night and do these acts of vandalism and destruction and murder in some respects. When they shot these guns, by the way, just show you how close this was divine protection. They narrowly missed the mother abbess who was sleeping in bed at the time. The bullet whizzed by her. Can you imagine that? You go to sleep one night and you get a bullet to your head. How do you expect that? In Spokane, Washington, back in March, arsonists set fire to St. Charles Parish School. There was a school there while a priest was asleep in it. I mean, arson's a horrible thing. So you have an abbess almost shot to death. You have a priest asleep in his bed while they set, the parish school on fire. Fortunately, he made it out okay. A suspect was arrested in that case. But look, the most costly one was in the Washington Times. I'll try to post the story. They were reporting on this. The Washington Times pointed out that one of the most expensive costs of vandalism was at Mission San Gabriel. It's the first mission church established in St. Junipero Serra. Somebody went and they torched it last year. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles held a special prayer service last night outside the church to mark the 250th anniversary of the establishment of that mission. And look, the number of incidences, 94 of them, I'll repeat that number again. I think personally, and some experts are agreeing with me, they think it's probably underreported. C.J. Doyle of the Catholic League of Massachusetts says that the USCCB doesn't list, their list doesn't include about 12 instances that they're aware of that took place in their state. And maybe it doesn't make news. Maybe it doesn't get reported. Maybe it's something mild at your church. But I bet these instances are a lot higher. And I'll even share with you, you know, we pray for the return of these tabernacles with the Eucharist. I'll share with you a Eucharistic miracle that took place when the hosts were stolen. It's a great story I once heard. But final thought here, and then I went to Mike McDonald, who's going to be joining me here. Here's the thing with all these things, right? And I don't know whether you agree with this or not, maybe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're probably going to agree with this. There's been almost no public outcry about these instances. Have you heard anything? That's just the Catholic Church, right? That's the Catholic Church. The president of the United States, who calls himself a devout Catholic, Mr. Joe Biden, he rattles his rosary beads. He goes to church every Sunday, right? And we need to pray for him. I don't want to disparage him. We need to pray for his conversion because clearly he's misguided. He claims he's Catholic. Has he said one thing about this? If my president today was a Jewish, you know, if he was a, you know, a follower of Judaism, right, a good Orthodox Jew, don't you think if synagogues were being burned and torched and vandalized, you would hear it? Wouldn't you? You'd hear it, right? Why aren't we hearing anything from the president of the United States who wants to go to church every Sunday? There's been nothing from the Justice Department done to quell these instances. And I'm not being melodramatic here. I see a pattern. I see a pattern happening here. I'll share part of my theory with you coming up in a second, but I want to bring into the conversation right now Mike McDonald. He's the communication director for the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights in New York. This is a great group. They do a lot to defend our religious liberties and our rights. I've been following them for years. You can check them out at thecatholicleague.org. And Mike joins me this afternoon. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there, looking at these instances and taking a deep breath as I look at the number of them continuing to escalate. As you heard me say, I've been reporting on this. It's been probably 2 years straight now as I've been following these events. But when the report came out today and I saw the number of them, stunning to me, 94 instances since May of last year. Does that sound right to you? I know you think that might be underreported.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Based on the numbers that we've been keeping in-house, looking across the nation, we have about 127 from January 1st of last year to the year-to-date this year. So those numbers sound about right. I mean, some of the things we also looked at, another thing that should also get the ire of Catholics up is a lot of these more secular statues that we think of, like Christopher Columbus out in California, San Junipero, they have also been torched by woke mobs. And, you know, one of the things I learned in Catholic school was that one of the reasons we celebrate these people is to remind us as Catholics that we are just as part and important to the American experience. And, yeah, if you did that to a statue of Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks or a Jewish individual, you'd be condemned as a racist and anti-Semite,
right.
as you should be. But again, the message would be you are less of an American and not important to the American experience. And that's why we should be worried about all of these things, you know, and the church in particular being attacked, that is a sign that, you know, we're not welcome here, we're not wanted here. And it is all part of this woke madness that is just seething across the country right now.
It's such a great point. It is. It's woke madness, that's for sure. You know, why? Why do you think that these churches are being targeted? I mean, what's your theory behind it? We're not the only ones being targeted. As you point out, there's been a huge outbreak also of anti-Semitic instances as well. So, but we're not hearing about these from our political leaders. I'm not hearing a whole lot of news coverage. You might get a little local report here and there.
Right. You just see the local reports. And one of the saddest things that we've noticed is a lot of these attacks on Catholic churches, on you know, people of faith from the Catholic tradition are not reported as hate crimes. New York City seems to be the best out of everything we've been tracking. Unfortunately, we've had a lot here in Manhattan and the other five boroughs, but it's very very sad to see that it does not get the same sort of quick response as you would see if it happened to another group. You know, and again, it's the problem for you know, these secularists, these woke revolutionaries, is the Catholic Church is and has always been and will continue to be the great moral beacon. We are the perfect guidance of light, of God's light into this world, and that's what we do, and they want to get rid of that. They want to destroy that however they can, and you know, if you can damage a church, knock down a statue, that's a big scalp for them, and that's how they see it, and they're just going to continue hammering us.
Yeah, that's for sure. My guest today is Michael McDonald. If you want to join the conversation, we'll take your call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking about Catholic churches being vandalized across the country, and it's not a random event. I mean, these instances are intensifying, and it does give you a pause. So, you know, we only have a minute or two. I'm curious, what should churches do to protect themselves? And why now? I mean, why the sudden rash of these vandalisms, even violence against Catholic churches, a convent, an abbess was almost shot, a priest was almost burned alive? Two things there. I mean, why the rash? Why the intensification? And then what can we do to ultimately, you know, address this issue?
Right. Well, you know, in the Trump administration, it was very popular to blame the Trump administration for anything that went wrong in the country, any sort of violence. And if you look at what the Biden administration, Biden in particular, has declared war on the Catholic Church, you've got the radical abortion agenda, the crazy transgender agenda. You get all these crazy things that he is declaring war on the Catholic Church, completely breaking with us. And that does send a message to you know, people that are not of sound mental state, or people that are just so part of this nihilistic death cult that is gripping America right now, that they take his actions, his words, and those from his sycophants and you know, all these crazy folks on the blogosphere and the mainstream media, that they take that as a green light to give in to their more basic instincts. They take it as open season to come after the Catholic Church. And, you know, to your second point there, the lady have to get involved. You know, priests can't just all be going out and getting concealed carry permits to defend themselves. The lady need to step up and help. So talk to your pastor, see what's the best way. I mean, you don't necessarily need to be the stereotypical Southern father cleaning a shotgun on your daughter's first date outside right. your church. You don't need to do that. But there are things you can do. You know, just drive by the parish, make sure everything's okay. And if the lady get involved, if more people get involved, we're going to send a much stronger message.
That's for sure. Well, look, Michael, I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do at the Catholic League. I hope people will check you guys out at CatholicLeague.org, keeping our finger on what's happening here. It's Michael McDonald, and he, of course, is works there with Bill Donahue, does a fantastic job as communication director. Stay with me. When I come back, we will talk more. All right? Don't go away.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All things current. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. Good to be here with you today. If you're just tuning in, we're taking a look at what has been stunning numbers coming from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And, you know, I don't say I'm delighted to see this report, but it is almost an exclamation point or affirmation of something that I have been talking about for a long time. Catholics are frustrated and they are disillusioned and they are upset at the increasing attacks on churches as they go unnoticed. If you are just joining me, I was sharing a little bit about how houses of worship have been torched. They've been hit by gunfire. Statues have been smashed. They've been defaced. This has been going on for well over a year and a half. But as a Catholic, we're having a hard time getting the powers that be to notice this. I'm not hearing anything from the Justice Department. We're not hearing anything from the president. It continues to persist. Did this happen to any other denomination? If it happened to anybody's race, if it happened to anybody's gender, oh my gosh, there'd be talk of hate crimes and it'd be nonstop. Every pundit in the country would be talking about it. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they have reported that there have been 94 instances of vandalism. Limbs cut off, statues smashed, heads removed, you know, decapitations, gravestones marked with swastikas and anti-life slogans smeared on churches, bullets fired at sleeping abbesses, and buildings burned while priests lie in their beds. And that's what we're seeing. And the figure may be low. You know, the Catholic League, I was just talking to them, they think that you know, there are probably many more of these that are out there as they're not getting reported. Catholic League, Brian Birch, the president of the Catholic Vote, he chalked up this whole disconnect in large part to the church's well-known opposition to abortion, you know, and its stand against the things that some of the Democratic Party hold to be important, such as the culture of death, right? Such as abortion. Fundamentally, that's it. And the media, too. The media does not like the Catholic Church. They just don't. They don't like what we represent. I don't think the Democratic Party cares for the Catholic Church that much either. I don't. And I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just taking a look at our defense of life, our defense of marriage, right? All the things the church says that are good and true and beautiful have been warped and twisted by our culture and championed by certain parties. I just think you got to zoom out, man. You got to look at the big picture. Can you imagine this type of attack if it occurred at a Jewish place of worship? The response would be overwhelming. Right now, there's practically silence. You know, there are tabernacles that are missing now with our Lord truly present in it because of vandals going into these types of churches. You know, there's going to be an uptick too. I mean, there are people who are now, because of this Texas law banning abortion after the fetal heartbeat can be detected, up to 6 to 8 weeks of gestation. But after that point, there's going to be a stirring of anti-Catholic animus. You're going to see it. You are going to see it. And we have no word from our president on this. A number of bishops have spoken out against it. And I think you're going to see more reports. I'll continue to bring it to you. But before I take some calls, I want to hit on one point. And I think we have to be careful when we watch this stuff. Because, it's not just Christianity, but specifically it's the Holy Roman Catholic Church. From all appearances, that's what seems to be the case. And I tend to think that we're going to see a lot more of this. You know, Our Lady has come to places like Guadalupe or Kibeho in Rwanda and elsewhere, right? And it's in places like this, prior to those visions, we saw human sacrifice, but we also saw incredible attacks against the church. In Rwanda, in Kibeho, Rwanda, there was a series of apparitions where the Blessed Mother appeared to a group of young children there. It's a church-approved apparition. She foretold of the genocide that loomed in Rwanda's future. This was 81, she appeared. 82, she appeared dressed in black, weeping, and gave these seers a bloody vision of the future. Bodies with no heads, rivers with bodies floating in them, aisles flowing with blood, all these types of things. But prior to these visions where she spoke of the beads of the seven sorrows, she talked about conversion, she talked about strange new plagues, all these different things that she spoke about in Kibeho. I was there, actually. I was with a film crew in 1989. I was present for the very final apparition of the Mother of God in the jungles there. It was an unbelievable experience, one that profoundly impacted me. There was something that happened in Rwanda where blood would spill, where brother would turn on brother, where neighbor would turn on neighbor, where a demonic spirit, I really believe, infected the people there, and the Hutus turned on the Tutsis, and we saw a mass genocide unlike anything we've seen. 1 million people lost their lives. It was one of the largest exoduses in human history. In Kibeho, right before the visions began, there was a nationwide outbreak of vandalism at Catholic churches. And they specifically targeted the Mother of God, statues of the Virgin Mary. Hands were broken, heads were decapitated. I met a priest there. His name was Father Gabriel Mandron, and he gave me a book that he wrote. He wrote a book on these apparitions. And between 1980 and 1981 in this book, he said nearly all the statues of the Virgin at entrances to parish churches, they were mutilated. They were destroyed, or they were just stolen. And in some cases, this happened a number of times. You know, when the statues had been destroyed or replaced, it would happen again. And even though the vandals were caught, it wasn't possible to really clarify the situation. Only one thing seemed certain. There was a spirit at work here, because it kept manifesting over and over again. Why? Why be against someone in whom you pretend not to believe, right? You don't believe in the Mother of God or the Catholic Church. Why be against it? And why does it offend you? I see this as a hallmark or the signature of our adversary, of Satan. The desecrations occurred immediately before the Virgin began appearing in 81 to Catholic school children. And then the Virgin would announce major cataclysms to come, including the genocide and other events that loomed in the future and came true in grisly detail. What are we to make of what we're seeing in our own country at this time, where we're seeing this increase? I'm not saying there's going to be genocide in America. That is not what I'm saying. I could never imagine that happening. I'm sure the Rwandanese never could imagine that either. But is this, and I'm just presenting this to you for food for thought, is this a portent of something larger that looms in America's future, in our own future? Is it something that may challenge the Catholic Church or you personally as a follower of Jesus Christ? I don't know. I try to read the winds. I try to see the signs. I try to present them objectively to you. And above all, I try to call you to prayer. Prayer and conversion. That is the solution. I'll be back.